Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We're coming to you from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am Kip Stube. Tonight on Live Talk, we are discussing the fate of holders of Zimbabwean exemption permits following a court challenge of a Pretoria High Court ruling that the South African government had when it terminated the special program. Namhla sixoxa ngodaba lwama-Zimbabwe's special exemption permits kulandela okwenziwe nge-South Africa elithi akukhondanga ukwethulwa ngumthethwandaba owe-Pretoria High Court owathi abaphathintambo bakarhulumente bekungalunganga ukuthi babemise ukusebenza kwamaphepha la. Sizaxoxa njalo langomhlangano omkhulu we-United Nations General Assembly. But first, let's take a look at what is happening at the United Nations General Assembly attended by world leaders, including President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The Zimbabwean leader, still smarting from a disputed election, told delegates to a high-level meeting on pandemic prevention, preparedness and response in New York today that after grappling with the COVID-19 pandemic, Zimbabwe has made strides in building back stronger healthcare systems.
The toll of HIV and COVID-19 pandemics continues to result in loss of human life, disruption to households and livelihoods, while impacting negatively on economies and development. Following the COVID-19 pandemic, Zimbabwe has made strides to build back stronger and more resilient healthcare systems that are able to identify and contain public health emergencies. Our country is further strengthening infection prevention and control practices and integrating the interventions into emergency prevention, preparedness and response. We have also promoted the local manufacturing of health-related commodities and consumables. A major development in Zimbabwe was the establishment of our own local oxygen gas manufacturing plant. Your Excellencies, through the whole of government, whole of society, multi-stakeholder and multi-sectorial approach, Zimbabwe is on track to achieving the HIV 95-95-95 targets. Globally, there is a need to have collaborative surveillance and access to countermeasures and emergency coordination between and among countries. Zimbabwe continues to work with regional and global partners in public health emergencies and the implementation of International Health Regulations 2005 to limit the spread of health risks. Your Excellencies, I urge us to make bold decisions that respond to present realities, including the development of the pandemic treaty, drawing lessons learned during the pandemics faced so far. Issues of the equitable distribution of resources to ensure equity in technologies like vaccines, personal protective equipment, information, expertise, and access to health care for all during pandemics need our honest consideration. There is clearly a need for stronger action, governance, financing, and health systems to protect the world from future pandemics. As Zimbabwe, my government has deliberately continued to increase budgetary allocations to health service delivery. In conclusion, I implore us to remain alive to the importance of robust monitoring mechanisms for pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response for breaking the recycling cycle of pandemic panic and neglect. I thank you for your kind attention. Thank you.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking at a health symposium on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly here in New York. At the same time, in his address at the United Nations General Assembly today, Namibian President Hage Geingob said the West should remove targeted sanctions imposed on Cuba, Zimbabwe, and other nations. President Cyril Ramaphosa made similar remarks at the same event yesterday.
Punitive measures imposed for over half a century on the Republic of Cuba have brought untold hardships that have disenfranchised the Cuban people. The embargo against the Cuban people remains unjust and must therefore be lifted. Namibia appeals to the United States of America to remove the Republic of Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism, as there is no evidence to support such classification. Selective punitive measures against Zimbabwe and Venezuela must also be lifted, as these measures constitute the greatest obstacle to the implementation of 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development.
South Africa continues to call for the lifting of the economic embargo that was imposed 60 years ago against Cuba, an embargo that has caused untold damage to the country's economy and the people of Cuba as well. The sanctions that are also being applied against South Africa's neighbor, Zimbabwe, should also be lifted, as they are imposing untold suffering on ordinary Zimbabweans, but also have a collateral negative impact on neighboring countries as well, such as my own country, South Africa.
That was South African President Cyril Ramaphosa and Namibian President Hage Geingob speaking at the United Nations General Assembly. And back to the topic of the day. The Supreme Court on Monday reserved judgment in a case in which Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi was challenging a ruling in June this year by the Pretoria High Court, in which it declared as invalid the termination of the Zimbabwe exemption permit. The South African government initially gave Zimbabwean holders of these permits up to the end of June this year to regularize their status, but later extended the deadline to December 2023. Those who would have failed to get new visas to stay and work in South Africa faced deportation. However, the Pretoria High Court declared the move as illegal, noting that there were no proper consultations with all stakeholders before the South African government made the decision to terminate the program. The Helen Suzman Foundation spearheaded the court challenge against the government's decision to stop the scheme. Many holders of the Zimbabwe exemption permit say they now fear that they may be deported if they don't regularize their status by June 30 next year, as per the Pretoria High Court ruling. Joining us to discuss this issue, we have Ms. Victress Matutu of Zim Imbokoto, Mr. Munjozi Mutandiri, a Senior Programs Manager of the Southern African Liaison Office, and Mr. Mabuto Mapena, Chairperson of the Zimbabwe Community in South Africa. Welcome to the program. So let's start with you, Ms. Matutu. What's your take on what the South African government is doing now in terms of challenging the Pretoria High Court decision on the Zimbabwe exemption permits? Matutu?
Hello, Mr. How are you?
No, Siapila, how are you? So, give us your take on what is going on.
I'm also good. Dube, if we all remember well that the court decision that was taken on the 28th of June this year, gave the ZTP holders 1 year, I think it gave the Home Affairs a year to talk to the ZTP holders and come with another decision. The minister gave the ZTP holders a period of up to 31st December 2023. Now we are hearing that the Minister of Home Affairs is appealing the court ruling, which means if the Minister is appealing the court ruling of the 28th of June 2023 that was given by the court for the EP holder to CFA or for the Home Affairs to talk to the ZEP holders and the stakeholders that are involved in this. This is also maybe ruled out because now the picture is appealing. Just no direction. And there's no whether the grace period will end on the 31st of December this year or the ruling by the court still stands. But if the minister is appealing, then the thing, I don't think it still stands. So now we are sitting here with the minister's grace period that ends on the 31st of December this year.
Mm-hmm. So I think you are facing that kind of a problem. Mr. Mutandiri, what's the impact of this challenge on Zimbabwean exemption payment holders? Mr. Mutandiri, can you hear me?
Hi, my brother. How are you?
No, very fine. How are you doing? So what's the impact of this kind of court challenge on the Zimbabwean exemption payment holders?
Good evening to you and to your listeners. And my line is a bit bad, and I'm hoping that you are able to hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay. Yes.
Perfect. So the big challenge is that legally, once the minister challenges, it sort of suspends the court ruling which had given the reprieve to the ZEP holders. But we saw that the Helen Suzman Foundation has gone back to court to say that even if the minister challenges, can the court consider that those who are holders of the ZEP remain legal until the court has made a final ruling on the issue. So the impact is that it puts most of the holders in limbo in terms of understanding what exactly is happening, but also it creates confusion within the workplace where these people are working, within the banking sector. We begin to see debts again because of the confusion, closing some accounts, and this naturally impacts on these holders. But also the bigger impact is that it brings back the spotlight on the issues of migration broadly in South Africa. And because we are going towards an election process, the lack of leadership from the political leadership, particularly the Minister of Home Affairs, leadership that is decisive, humane, but also within the bounds of the constitution and the laws of this country. It a lot of pressure on people to take the law into their own hands. It sort of fuels the reactionary organizations like the DULA and many others, especially political parties that have brought on this issue of migration to really just target, particularly Zimbabweans.
Thank you very much. At this stage, let me bring in Mr. Mapena, Mabuto Mapena. So keep on holding there, Mr. Mutandiri. So Mr. Mapena, are these holders, making any contingency plans as we speak right now, in ensuring that if the court challenge is succeeded, they will know what to do next?
If the court challenge were to go through, though I still not to understand your question, because as the two speakers have already explained, the court process, what is currently is happening is that people are applying for waivers, but your great concern is that the people that applied in 2021, 2022 are still not getting their waivers. You have a serious challenge at the Department of Home Affairs in terms of making decisions or giving out the outcome of those that would have applied. The court process is going to be a long, drawn-out court process. This is why Mojoz was explaining to you why Helen Suzman Foundation has to go to court, because what we saw this week was the Minister of Home Affairs going to the High Court in Pretoria to seek leave to appeal. If he gets granted the leave to appeal, it means he will then go to the Supreme Court of Appeal. If they lose, they are likely to go to the Constitutional Court. So it's a long-drawn court process, unless, of course, If the High Court in Pretoria then says it does not believe that another court, a higher court, will come to a different conclusion than they did. So it will then mean that he will not then have the right to appeal, meaning that the judgment then gets implemented. So what Mujoz was basically saying was that the appeal by the minister suspends the implementation of that judgment, which was party on the 28th of June 2023.
Precisely. So just hold on there. Let's take a caller right now. I think we've got a caller on the line. Caller, mbani konapho sekuthungweni. Hello, siyakwamukela konapho ekuthungweni. Ngikhuluma lobani? Icaller ungazani kumbe ucingo lwayo lungani lusaphansi sazi ukuthi lumi njani. Sathi sibuyele konapho kucaller. Let's just take a very short break. Stay tuned, we are coming back very shortly. So I think maybe the caller was going to come on board, but still we are trying to get the caller, and we are going to maybe take a break, but I'm told that we can continue with some of our guests. So back to you, Ms. Victoria Smatutu, Ms. Ndebele. So when the island could imagine Maskana Lukuti Ikoti South Africa. What you can always why Pretoria I could Mwazani Gabahabelan Lako. Lina Konapo said the same Yamenonga Lani or was the land.
Hello.
Hello. Let's get Mr. Mutandiri. So Mr. Mutandiri, Nerum Ramai in Shona. So what should people do at this stage? Since it seems as if many people are now confused on what to do next. In Shona, what might they say? Karazole.
Yeah, so Sandam, but our power between the Kuz, Sabia Kuz, Rashom. So I think the question is could you and wait us in?
Yeah, no question.
So I think Paris, you know, Atunda Goneku Kuru Diravan, Tanga Nere Mazet, Raka Mawoda, Emma's ATP, the Tokutiva, and Wasanga Kupan. Dava alauma court posture. I think that is a thing to know. Fanza Kuiti does a barrel should put on the Tika Kuramba to sit down. Particularly the home affairs. Nemba Kaya Kuiti, my process actually has to farmba, make it shindy, the Adiva Mabena or Taura, Kuiti, Nibambi, or a Kutukuluan or a Tanga Kua Playa. Kuti wawane mawaiva kwa wani mapepa wariwe mapemiti avo se janga jambo domane burukota re home affairs wa mutu alebi kutipo na utu kune ndekini dambu jiko ku home affairs ye capacity kana kuti ye kugona kuchimbija na process ye kuti mapepa abude so I think tofanira kuti timirire kuti judgment ye koti inoti chii panhau yeve Helen Suzman but chikuru ndechekuti hurumende yeSouth Africa ngaivewo considerate ine hurumende inotevera maprocesses anoalawa achida natural justice iya kuti vanhu ngavapiwe mukana tichaite sekuti kuda kuunyikidzirana kuda kupaurisana kuti ya munotokaura chete dzokerai kunyika dzenyu zvine upenyu hwevanhu vanhu vakagara kwenguva yakareba so tinoramba tichitaura navo tichizama kuti aiwa ngationesanei ngaigadziriswe nyaya iyi nenzira kwayo.
Yes, thank you. You just hold on there. Sibona sanisile khola khola kunjani cingweni nalo khola uyangiza ecingweni khona ngapha namhlanje. Ye sabona kunjani?
Ngiyaphila.
Ye akuzi chigama lesibongo baba sizwe khona.
Ye igama uyemtadi isibongo sakwencube baba.
Ye Ncube ubona njani udabulo lesiphuka ngalo namhlanje?
Heyi udaba lolu ungathi luthanda ukuba nzima kakhulu yithi thina abantu esisebenzisa amaphemithi ngobuningi ngoba ngathi nje kothi yehluleka ukuluqondisa kahle lolu daba. Mina ngokubona kwami ngibona ngathi nje lapha vele yinto nje ezogcina ifeyilile leyi ngokuhamba kwesikhathi.
So manje ubona zani uzayenzani wena njengoba la maphepha lawo?
Heyi kuzaba nzima kakhulu ukuthi ngenze njani ngoba kuzabe sokubhale bona phezulu.
So amaphepha kathesoni uyadinga kumbe siwagcina usekela nje?
Manje nami ngiku-waiting ngilindile ukuthi ngizwe ukuthi kuhamba njani khonangale nami ngikwazi ukuthi ngithole lelo phepha.
Ye kulo mncedo oludingayo yini ongalithola ebantwini abakhangela konke lokhu?
Ye yiyo le permit.
Usukuwadinga ngaphi kwangkhona?
Senke ngazama leya debate izimo. Hayi nayo yavele nje yehlula nje efonini khonapho nje waphela kanjani.
So wena kodwa uyithwele izibhu lokhu layo wazama ukuthi urenyiwe uthole nje?
Ngazama ukuthi ngirenyiwe ngithole enta wehlula ukuthi ngirenyiwe ngasala lokhu ngibambile naye.
Aha hayi siyakuzwa kakhulu Ncube baba ungathelela kusasa ba.
Hayi siyabonga ba.
Yes, so Mr. Mapena, I think we can hear one of the callers talking about his predicament there. What can he do, you know, and what can others do in such a situation, Mr. Mapena?
When a person should apply for a waiver, because the majority of these EP holders do not qualify to move to other visas, so one needs a waiver. Once one has been granted a waiver, then they apply for a general working visa. But we, of course, we understand the challenges that the EP holders are having, where people that have been working, but during COVID, they lost their jobs. They need to submit a proof of employment when they apply or submit their applications. They do not have that proof of employment, so it becomes a challenge. Secondly, we've been seeing some letters that the employer should be writing, mostly that are working as domestic workers, are finding difficult to get their employers to confirm that indeed they work for them, because there's now this perception that employers will then commit that if anything happens, they are then responsible for a deportation, which of course is not, it should not be correct, because then if a person applies for a permit, they get rejected, it should not be the burden of the employer to deport the person. In any case, we've been arguing that you have more people who are not documented, who are working, than holders of the Zimbabwe exemption permit. So, yeah, but these are some of the challenges that people are having. And we have been speaking to NetBank because NetBank has been closing people's accounts on the basis that they are people do not have permits. We still have this challenge. We have not been able to resolve that because we have been trying yesterday to speak to their legal department at head office. There's no meeting of minds at the moment, but those that are affected, we are trying our level best to assist so that people do not have their accounts frozen. But the normal procedure is that a person will simply download the statement that speaks of the grace period and then hand over to their bank branch so that their monies are not frozen.
Is there any person that is assisting most of these people in processing their applications as it is right now?
There are many people who are now entrepreneurs who are assisting people. There are people that are assisting for free, and then there are others that are charging a small fee for assisting people. There are quite a number of people, organizations assisting individuals. Some employers do contact us asking for information on how to assist to apply some employers to apply for their employees. Yeah, so people have been assisted.
Thank you, Mr. Nobuto Mapena. Let's take a caller. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, how are you, sir?
I'm
fine. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
Yeah. Any contribution to the discussion today? What do you think about the Zimbabwe exemption permits and what the South African government is doing?
Oh, yeah. I heard that the minister is appealing the decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in an era whereby, especially in South Africa, where there is so much unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they looked at it from their side. They didn't look at it from a broader perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because originally I come from Zim. If we look at it from a neutral perspective, in Zim also, as a local citizen, there were things that I didn't want to do as a local citizen. So now, if only the minister can look at such things that even maybe this thing was a way of like trying to create jobs for the locals. But if you check even the locals, those spaces that they created when they want to terminate the permit, or when they terminated the permit, they are trying to create jobs for the locals. But you discover those very jobs that are done by the foreigners, especially Zimbabweans,
mm-hmm.
the locals don't want them. But they don't even want to to get to that.
Aha, uh-huh. So there is a problem there, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, there is a huge problem, and some decisions, when you are in government or you are part of the government, you don't have to do them emotionally. You've got to sit down and collect data.
Thank you so much. So, but only that the time has gone beyond what we can handle today. If it was soccer, we're going to give you some extra time, but there's no extra time here. That brings us to the end of our show today. We'd like to thank our guests and, of course, you, the listeners, and viewers at home. Signing off is Steve Stuber in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.